As the nation marks the birthday of Martin Luther King Jr. this weekend, we wanted to assess the current state of the civil rights movement. Is there one today? And who's leading it? We've invited Andrew Hacker, the author of the book Two Nations, Black and White, Separate, Hostile, Unequal. He joins me from New York. We're also joined by Claiborne Carson, director of the Martin Luther King Papers Project at Stanford University. Welcome to you both.
Very good
to
be
be
here.
here.
Andrew Hacker, is the civil rights movement alive in the United States today?
Only fractionally. The civil rights movement, for all intents and purposes, it's not even a movement. I wouldn't even call it that. A movement connotes a large number of people moving purposely toward a goal, and I don't see that today. The change is that white people have moved away. The civil rights movement, as such, was a black and white movement. Remember when Martin Luther King got up in front of the Lincoln Memorial and he looked out, the reflecting pond with several hundred thousand people there, and he said, "Pepper and salt," because that's what he saw. There were literally, tens of thousands of white people there too.
Mr. Carson, do you agree?
In the 1960s, we could talk about one single movement, and often it was a capital M kind of movement where everyone thought they were fighting for generally the same goal. I think now there are civil rights movements in the plural, and they involve different groups and different kinds of expansions of civil rights to include different kinds of things. Civil rights has never been a static concept. It's always both the expansion to different groups that were not included before, and also in terms of the content of civil rights.
Well, a number of groups do frame their issues as civil rights issues, and let's hear just a couple. We have a clip of tape here from Raul Izaguirre. He's a former president of the National Council of La Raza, and here's how he recently explained the problems of Hispanics.
We're the most undereducated minority in this country. There's evidence to suggest that we're the most discriminated minority in employment. We're certainly the most segregated minority in public schools. So we got a lot of serious problems that we need to talk about.
We also have a bit of tape from Jasmine Kanick with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. This group has been criticized for comparing its work with civil rights battles of years past, and here's how Kanick responded to that last year.
The civil rights movement and the gay civil rights movement have a common denominator: discrimination. Both groups were discriminated against. And what I often try to get, especially Black Americans, to understand is that even within the group of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, there are Black folks in that group of people too.
Andrew Hacker, why shouldn't the work of groups like these be seen as a modern civil rights movement?
All this really distresses me. Here we are celebrating, if that's the word, Martin Luther King Day, and we have all these groups which have piggybacked onto what has been America's number one blemish, which is its unwillingness to give equal status to people of African origin. And that disability, just the disability of having your forebears born in Africa, is much stronger, much more devastating than being a recent immigrant, as most Hispanics are. Gay, lesbian people, yes, they have problems, but not nearly the kind of disability that you have from having the skin, the physiognomy that is associated with Africa. And with all those groups, as I say, piggybacking on, it dilutes the cause, the basic cause of civil rights.
Claiborne Carson, what about continuing efforts for equal rights for Black Americans?
I would agree to the extent that certainly the issue of African American civil rights is of a different level of seriousness in terms of the consequences, and much more deeply rooted in American history. But nonetheless, I think your original question about where civil rights is today, I think it does have to do with this constant expansion of who is included in the concept of civil rights. And that was started back in the 60s when we began to think of disability rights and other groups. So I think that this expansion is always going to go on, and to call it piggybacking, I think demeans that, because it doesn't necessarily mean that by expanding it to these other groups, we're going to lessen the impulse to advance the interests of Black Americans.
How do you envision the future of the civil rights movement?
To me, what the issues are today have to do with how do we deal with the consequences of past discrimination. That's part of the problem we have with the issue of affirmative action, is that it's based on trying to deal in the present with the consequences of the past, And most Americans don't like to think about the past, especially when it comes to racism and discrimination.
I think affirmative action is an excellent example. The Supreme Court, as we know, last year by one vote, kept affirmative action in one of two schools at the University of Michigan. But if we look at the state of California, a very strong majority of white voters went out and ensured that affirmative action was repealed throughout the entire state. Now, this is where we stand. Affirmative action is really a very small thing. It doesn't affect that many people. A few, let's say with colleges, a few white students won't get into their first choice school. But now what we have, and this has become part of our jurisprudence, is something called white rights. White people have their right to their college places, and they can claim a black person is taking my place, go to court, and get it back.
And is this part of the reason you would say there is no civil rights movement today?
That's right, because white people, including liberal white people, have just got tired and bored with this. They're more concerned with peace or the environment or, you know, some other 2005 type issue.
Would you concede that part of that, if that's true, part of the reason might be that the general situation of black Americans has improved?
We have 1 million young black men in prison. That's a whole chunk of the young black men. We have more young black men in prison than we have in college, many more. And nobody's saying, here's a whole generation. It's almost close to genocide in the sense that they're going to be felons the rest of their lives.
I'm wondering, Claiborne Carson, how important is leadership? And is part of the issue there's no modern-day Martin Luther King?
There is obviously no Martin Luther King. He would be 76 years old now, and I think he would still be talking about the issues that Mr. Hacker has just described. But my own feeling is that King wouldn't be welcome at most Martin Luther King celebrations. He would be too unsettling in terms of his own message that we still have a lot of work to do. So I think that to some degree what has happened with Martin Luther King is he's been turned into a soundbite. You know, that wonderful speech. I was at the March on Washington and I admired the speech, but the way in which it's been turned into a soundbite to comfort America rather than unsettle America, to make it seem as if these issues are all in the past and we once struggled with that, but now we've overcome it. And, you know, that's the way we want to remember Martin Luther King.
Andrew Hacker?
We live in a very self-centered time, and part of the genius of our economic system was to ensure that strong majority of people, mainly white, will be allowed to think of themselves as middle class, and maybe even upper middle class. And they can identify with the way the system works, with the professional careers they have, the suburbs they live in, the SUVs that they're able to buy. And they don't see any need for reforms, sharing, redistribution. As I said, it's a self-centered era.
Andrew Hacker is a sociologist at Queens College in New York. Claiborne Carson directs the Martin Luther King Papers Project and is a history professor at Stanford University. Thank you both so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.